Hola, yo soy Eder Díaz y este es el podcast de Pueblo Católico y Gay. Antes de escuchar la historia del día de hoy, quiero agradecerte tu tiempo, que me des la oportunidad de acompañarte con esta historia, que estés apoyando este proyecto. Si es la primera vez que estás escuchando, por favor suscríbete para que estés pendiente de los próximos capítulos. Una vez más, gracias por tu apoyo, gracias por tu tiempo. Antes de escuchar la historia del día de hoy, que habla sobre la terapia de conversión, quiero decirte nada más que por motivos de privacidad, esta persona ha decidido mantener su identidad anónima y también para permitir una mejor expresión de lo que él ha vivido, vamos a hacer el episodio en inglés. Espero que puedas acompañarnos en esta historia. Espero que la puedas entender. Ahora sí, vamos a escuchar la historia del día de hoy.
Hola, soy de Ciudad, católico y gay.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
My childhood was always traditional Mexican family, boys with boys, girls with girls. I tried my best to surround myself with my family with the ones I felt more comfortable with. And usually that was with my girl cousins. And every time that I was with them, they always separated me from them. They forced me to be with my guy cousins. I don't think it came from a wrong place. Me and my girl cousins, we always played dolls. I play with heels. And then my cousin found out, or one of our babysitter cousins, one of the older ones, and then she got super pissed and then told my mom and dad. And it was a huge, huge, huge like ordeal when they saw me with tacones or play with purses or dolls. Me pegaban, me daban cinterazos. They made sure that I know that that wasn't right. And that was not right for the eyes of God. And then it's not normal. And so that's what we usually do with my cousins. But I stopped once I was getting a lot of cintarazos, and I just didn't want to do that anymore.
And you guys, I'm sure, would go to church.
Yes, we would go to church every Sunday. I went to a private school all my life, starting from kinder, elementary school, and high school. And I went to church every Thursdays. And then I went to church every Sundays with my family.
Wow.
And in fact, I was actually thinking of being a priest for a little while. And then I think that's what my parents got a little more upset about, that I was saying it. And they made me get into altar serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an altar server boy for 4 years.
Did you feel close to God when you were a kid?
Always. And I still do.
Mm-hmm.
God has always been an important part of my life.
So when you were a kid and you were going through these moments that, you know, people around you were telling you that's not what you were supposed to do, that's not how you were supposed to act, you never felt rejected by God?
I didn't feel like he was rejecting me. I felt that I didn't want to be gay. I did it. I wanted to be straight. I prayed. I cried. And I felt like he wasn't listening to me. I felt ignored. But never once did I lose faith in him. And never once did I feel like he didn't love me. I just felt just ignored.
When this was going on, had you come out to any of your friends?
I did. Being a Catholic school, we had to go to a mandatory retreat every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to our senior retreat. That's the first time that I ever came out to someone. And then I started coming out to my other friends from elementary school. And all their responses were the same. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And family did not come out to my family, not even my primas. That was until later in college where I started coming out to my family.
What was that like?
It was hard. It was really hard. I was outed twice. So the first time I was outed, it was to my cousin, a boy that thought I was cute. I didn't like him. But so he got really upset. And so at a party my cousin was at, he basically told her, like, your cousin's gay. And he was drunk. And so he just outed me to her. And then I got a text from her. And she's like, it sucks that I have to find out through someone else that you're gay. And then I try to explain to her, you know what? Like, that's not how I wanted you to find out. I wasn't ready. I explained to her that it wasn't my moment. I'm sorry. And then she's like, I can't believe you can't trust me. And it was pretty devastating to know that somebody outed me to someone I really loved. And I wanted to do that. And now she's the most accepting and one of the people I truly love. It took a while to mend the little bridge right there. And then I started coming out to my other cousins, but never to my immediate family until someone outed me with my family.
What was that like?
That was pretty hard. I think that was the worst because I promised myself that I was going to start coming out. I wrote a letter to my family and I told them that I love you. And I explained to them, I'm gay. I'm the same son that you always loved. So I was prepping myself. I was talking to myself. I was talking to friends like, okay, this is the year or next year. And so strangely, it was my cousin's birthday. We went to Disneyland to celebrate. That's one of our favorite places to be at. Feel more at home there. I got a call, and that's my mom. And the tone that she had, I felt that something was completely wrong. So she's like, where are you? I'm at Disneyland. Who are you with? I'm like, I'm with my prima and my friend. And she said, I need you home now. And I said, okay, is everything okay? And then she said, hablamos cuando llegas a la casa. I said, okay. And then, strangely, I looked at my cousin and my friend and I just said, hey, do you think my mom found out that I'm gay? And we all laughed and we're like, nah, you know? So we went back to my cousin's house. I said, I need to go home. I thought I was going to be another fight, another like week of ignoring me, and then everything will be okay. I told my cousin, I'm gonna go pick up a board game and then come back so we can finish her birthday, you know? I went home, picked up the board game, and when I was already putting the board game in my car, my mom pulls in, and again, she was just staring at the steering wheel, and I said, everything okay, mom? I went up to say hi. ¿Todo bien? And then she asked me, ¿eres gay? I didn't respond. I just said, hablamos cuando llego a la casa. I went to my cousin's house, dropped off, and I told her, like, my mom asked me if I'm gay. And then she's like, what are you going to say? I was like, I don't know. So I dropped off the board game. I told her I'll call her right after. And so I go home. I went to go change to something more comfortable because obviously I knew it was going to be a pretty tough conversation. So I go upstairs and she asked me again, it is gay. And then I said yes. And then she said, pues, no voy a decirle a tu papá, tú vas a decirle. And at that point, I was already crying, you know. She calls my dad. I think my dad kind of knew. I don't know how he knew, but. And then my mom tells him, pues dile. So then I said, I couldn't look at my dad's eyes. I just said, my mom encontró que era gay. And then my dad didn't allow me not to look down. He said, mírame la cara. So I told him, soy gay. And then my mom said que no me va a soportar estas pendejadas, que se va a ir a México, que me va a dejar, y que lo arregle mi papá. So my mom left. My brother later told me that my mom went to them and told them not to talk to me because I might make them gay. And then my dad said, weirdly, out of my whole, this whole thing, my dad was more questioning it. Are you sure? When did you know? Por qué? So it was more of like questions. Never once did he got angry at that moment. And then he waved me off and said, go to your room. And the next day, I couldn't sleep, but the next day, my mom comes in. Yeah, it was after Christmas. And I gave her a picture frame that said, it is mi ángel, te quiero mucho, ma. It was a picture of my mom and me. And she comes into my room and throws the picture frame on the wall. And then I will never forget the words that she told me. Que no era su hijo. I will never forget that. Was on the floor saying sorry. That's all I could say. Perdóname, mamá. Perdóname, mamá. Perdóname. It was 4 days of me not talking to family, friends. My mom made sure I had no food. Dormía durante la día y at night I was up. I went outside con mis perros or just to get a fresh air, you know. And that's when my parents came in, I think on the fourth day, and told me that we're going to TJ for convergence therapy. So the next day we went.
Where did you go?
I went to TJ for about a year and a half. It was one of those back and forths.
Mm.
So at first it was going every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Going, coming. Going, coming, going, coming. And then it was a small, like a home, two-story home. So-called doctor.
Was it religious affiliated?
Very. It was religious affiliated. I went because I felt that would mend my family. And my family is the most important thing in my life. So I thought it would make my family happy. So I went. Every day we prayed. She asked me every day, are you gay? And at first I was saying, I don't know. And then she said how that's not natural. Que no era natural. Que no quería eso Dios. That he gave man and a woman. And did this whole spiel of how it's a man and a woman. And that my family is only looking out for me so I can live a normal life. So it was a full year and a half. And it took a toll on me, on my education, my mental state. Sorry.
No, you're fine. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Aside from the praying and all these conversations about what God approved or didn't approve, was there anything else that you were put through?
It was a lot of psychoanalysis testing, or I don't know, what would you call it? It was more of like, draw me this, write me a story.
Were your parents ever with you?
Oh, yeah. So okay. There was moments where first I go by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mom, then my dad, then us together. And sometimes I'll do it with my siblings. But the stories, or she showed me ink drawings, and she asked me, what do I see in these paintings? And honestly, later down the line, I was already getting annoyed of it. It was just, she asked me to draw. I just drew a smiley face, a circle, two dots, and a smile. I knew what she was trying to do, I guess. Like, see if I put an effort or something. She told me to draw a family. I drew stick figures. And then a tree and a sun with a smile in the sun. She asked me to tell a story. I wrote a story. I love comics, so I wrote an X-Men comic book.
You're like, I got this.
I got this. And honestly, I kind of forgot a lot that went through that whole year and a half. Like, I never believed someone can block off something, but this one was a total block of my life. Mm. I just remember snippets like that where she asked me to write stories, or we would read the Bible, talk about my life. I made sure that whenever she was testing me, that I would test her back. And interesting, this never worked for me. Like, at some point, sometimes she would fall asleep in the therapy.
That's so funny.
She had a lazy eye. She was born blind, but later on, she got sight back. And so she would cover one eye. Like, you assume she's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I called her out, and I was mad. I was like, are you seriously falling asleep on me? And she says, no, your life is too hard. I'm just praying for you. I was like, oh, God. Okay. Majority, it was just a lot of psychiatry stuff.
Did you ever feel like it was working?
I never thought it was working. I didn't even try to change. At first, it was more for the sake of my family, to unite my family, to make sure I still have a family, because I didn't want to live my life alone. When my mom told me that I'm no longer her son, I just felt like I'm forever alone. I have nowhere to go. I have nothing. I felt lost, and I felt, by saying yes to my family to go to this, that I can bring back what I need in my life, and that is my family. I love my family so much. And I hope they know that. I hope they know that.
Did it make a difference with them, at least while you were going through the process? Did they treat you better?
I think it was helping my mom more than anything, because at the same time, she will get some religious help too, you know, mm-hmm. religious guidance. But whenever she had episodes of questioning, like one time we were at the mall and there was this hot guy, though. It was one of those look and then look back. And I guess my mom noticed. And then she got mad. She's like, you were looking at that guy? ¿Estabas mirando? I was like, no, man, no, no. And then she would call. We would not drive, but she would call her to do a phone therapy session. So I would step back in my backyard, be there for about 2 hours on the phone, and talk to her about what happened. Later down the line, my mom was starting to notice that I was not enjoying it, or I was being more sarcastic. I was more like, I'm just going with what they wanted to do. And so the first thing she did the last time is just tell the therapist, like, ya no quiere mi hijo estar aquí. No creo que esto lo está ayudando nada. And so she asked me to go by myself. Then she asked me again. She goes, eres gay? And then my response was, solo quiero que mis papás me quieran. And then she asked me again, eres gay? Solo quiero que mis papás me quieran. And she asked me one more time, and I told her, like, look, no voy a cambiar mi respuesta. Solo quiero que mis papás me quieran. She said, okay. She told me to go downstairs and wait there. We waited for about like 20 minutes. I don't know what she was doing for those 20 minutes. And then she calls us up, my mom, my dad, and me. And then she says, pues yo creo que su hijo no es gay. Yo creo que su hijo es asexual porque su pasado, lack of fatherly figure in his life, lo causó no poder a querer a nadie.
Wow.
Yeah,
this lady.
Yeah. And so I think that carried on with my family. And so till this day, I think that's what they think.
Ever since that conversation and ever since that kind of judgment that this person told your family about you, has there ever been a conversation about your...
Yeah, there was one more time. I was working and my mom calls me again. And then she got upset that I was doing a photo shoot. It was back in the days when like Facebook was a thing, you know?
So of course.
I was taking nice pictures for Facebook. And she didn't like the photographer that was taking those photos. She's like, he's gay. You should not be around those people because you know what will happen. And so I hanged up on her, got home, and again, it was a whole new fight. And this time I was already defending myself. It wasn't like I wasn't letting CM out. I wasn't submitting to them. I was more of a, I wasn't outing myself. I was just like, no sé por qué te estás enojando. Es solo un amigo que está tomando fotos. And then we started arguing again and arguing and arguing. And mind you, at that time, I was already dealing with a lot, you know? I was going through TJ for a good year, a year and a half. I just felt like the world was crashing on me. And God wasn't listening to me. And felt like my parents will never love me. And so after a huge fight, they left and me dejaron solo. And I did something that that I totally regret. But I felt every emotion that I could feel, you know? I felt sad. I felt angry. I felt empty and happy. I just felt so like I was happy I was leaving. So, I decided to take my life. So, I I don't remember at all that day at all. Everything that I've been told has been through my cousins. I called my cousin. And she tells me that I told her that I loved her. And that I'm sorry. And then, they came and they saw me. I don't think I ever apologized to them. But they helped me. And what sucked up from all of it, what was more embarrassing, is that when my family came, apparently we had visitors. So it was a big ordeal. I wasn't able to walk. I hit my head when my dad was telling me they didn't want to call an ambulance. So he made me walk. I fell on the floor, hit my head. They got in the car. And then I remember them asking me if I tried. And then me being sarcastic, I said, "What do you think?" And then I don't remember much after that. I remember my mom coming in and out. And then my brother told me that I told my mom that this is all her fault. And then from there, I think that was the last time we ever talked about my sexuality. But if I could say that if it wasn't for my cousins, I don't think I'll be here. I don't think they know how much, but they saved my life. And I will love him forever for that.
I don't really have the words to thank you for being this honest. There's usually a question that I usually close the podcast with that I don't think I'm going to ask you. I think that there's a lot of things that are very clear, you know, like the fact that I don't think you talk about these things anymore with your parents. But I do want to know what maybe your outlook for your own life is based on who you are today, what you've been through, what you see your life becoming.
It's interesting. I was just talking to another cousin of mine. She's barely coming out. And we were talking about each other's stories.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it right now is that sometimes you have to make sacrifices. And my sacrifice right now is living the life that I am right now in secret. I may not be happy right now. I may not be open. So I feel that later, yes, I have to open to my family. But I'm hoping that my sacrifice can provide a healthy life for my family in the future. It may suck, but
gracias por venir al podcast.
Thank you.
Gracias por escuchar la historia del día de hoy. Agradezco infinitamente la confianza a esta plataforma. Sé que no es una conversación fácil. Sé que es un tema demasiado delicado. A cualquier persona que esté pasando algo similar, que esté enfrentando una situación en un hogar donde no sientan que tengan la confianza de platicar abiertamente sobre lo que están viviendo, hay muchas organizaciones, hay muchas personas que son aliados de la comunidad, que pueden extenderte una mano, que pueden extenderte una palabra de aliento, que pueden extenderte incluso a veces un lugar seguro donde estar. Es muy importante que si te sientes solo o sola en este momento, que busques esa ayuda, que busques a esos aliados y que tengas ese apoyo para encontrar la manera de sobrellevar lo que estás viviendo y evitar tomar una decisión que pueda ser permanente. Vamos a dejar toda esa información en nuestras redes sociales. En Instagram búscanos como @depueblocatolicogay. Gracias por tu tiempo, gracias por dejarnos acompañarte y una vez más, muchísimas, muchísimas gracias a la persona que contó este testimonio por la confianza. Yo soy Eder Díaz y yo soy de Pueblo Católico.